Right Reverend Beresford Munro Brown himself. I want to just preface his message this morning very briefly and say this. Some of you who don't know Barry, he is a faithful man of God who has served the Lord for 55 years. And in those 55 years of serving the Lord, many of those years have been in full-time ministry as a pastor. He has gone through the most wonderful victories and some of the most tragic events and circumstances of life. Nevertheless, through all those things, he has remained faithful to the Lord. And now, 75 years old, living in London, by himself in an apartment, refused to be one of those lonely old people who just sit around waiting for life to end. He refused to do that. So he made himself go everywhere. He is surrounded by people. He is beloved in his church, surrounded by young people in the church. They love him. They put pictures of him on their Facebook with themselves on their wall. It's amazing. And because he refused to do what the rest of the people in the world do, and that's just disappear into the woodwork. He knows that the gospel is needing to go out into all the world, and every generation needs a light. And so he is still shining the light faithfully there. Yeah. He spoke this morning in the early service, and I was just so blessed listening to him preach, because there were things that he said that I'm sitting there thinking, okay, we've heard these things before. And it occurred to me, after all these years, he's 75 years old, he stands in the pulpit, what is he going to say? You know what he says? Same thing he's always said. Because it's the truth. And it didn't change. And I just want to encourage you today, listen. Listen with these ears. What does a 75-year-old man who has served the Lord for the most of his life, through thick and thin, what does he have to say? And how can I grab a hold of that like an anchor for my soul? Because it's not very often, even here on Cape Cod, full of old people who all retired from all their wealth and so forth, it's not very often you run into somebody who is, well, I was going to say silver-haired, but there's not a whole lot of hair. It's not very often you run into people who are preaching the gospel at this time of their lives. So listen. Amen. Amen. That's all you, sir.
Are there any carpenters in the building? The doors need to be widened for me to get out after that introduction. It's good to be here this morning and to give praise to God. How many people here from the morning service, the first service? Only one? What, did you all forget that the clocks went forward? This isn't the first service, this is the second one. I'm just joking with you, and I'm so glad to have met so many of you again and met so many new people coming in, and to be able to rejoice with you over the goodness of God and over the fullness of what God is doing here in the Cape. I believe God's doing a great thing, and in that great thing, he's going to extend his love and his mercy towards each and every one of you. You know, there's a word that I use very often in my prayers to God. It's a word that says Adonai. And I realize over the years, my greatest master, which Adonai means, is my Savior and the Lord and King of my life. Some people have asked me to sing this morning, but it seems I got a throat like a bullfrog, as I said earlier on. But I am going to try and sing something for you. Where's Eric? He can probably drown it out with a piano. It's an old hymn, but one I think most of you would probably know the chorus. I'm going to sing the chorus in a very peculiar way to you, first of all, so that you would remember to pray for missions. And shall I sing it in tongues, or shall I sing it in Shona? You like Shona? Shona is the name of a tribe in what was Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. And I used to go out preaching in the African townships there, and I only learnt a while later that this chorus had in fact got a hymn attached to it. So I'm going to sing, as I said, in Shona. I hope you all understand it very easily. Da wirani zerososse zingaitiket geruda wiro da wirani zerososse Singa itiket Geruda wiro. Fear not, little flock, from the cross to the throne, from death into life he went for his own. All power on earth, O power above, is given to him for the flock of his love. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Fear not, little flock, he goeth ahead. Your shepherd selecteth the path you must travel ahead. The waters of Marah he'll sweeten for you. He drank all the bitter in Gethsemane. The reason I read that out was to be able to give my throat a chance. I'm afraid my throat has gone on me at the moment. So I'll read the last verse and we'll sing the chorus together. Fear not, little flock, whatever you're lost, he enters all rooms, the doors being shut. He never forsakes, he never is gone. So count on his presence, the darkness and dawn. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Seems to me that every time I get up to preach here, the old devil tries to take my voice away. I'll tell you something, I can shout faster than the devil can shout right now, because we're under the covering of his precious blood, and he is in control of everything. Father, we're grateful that we can be in the house of the Lord this day. We're grateful that we can give unto you all the praise, the honor, the glory, and the majesty. That we can spend time in your presence and hear from your heart as the Spirit of God leads and guides. Hide your servant behind the cross, that no man may be seen save Jesus only. And that the name of the Lord will be magnified, uplifted, and glorified. And the word that you have given this morning into my heart will be a word that will touch the hearts and of those here present and lift them up in the things of the Lord, that they may realize their value to you, Lord, that you give so much to them, that you put so much within them for the glory and honor of your name. Father, meet with us in a very special way this day. Help us to glorify your name. And help us, Lord, whether we're here or wherever we are, to shine for you. I keep on hearing the word lighthouse, Lord. Let us be a lighthouse rotating into the darkness to take people's ships off the rocks, Lord, and bring their feet upon the solid ground of your love and your grace and your mercy. Now, Lord, I commit myself into your hands. I'm just your child and your servant, Lord. So, Adonai, have your own way here this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I started jotting down the many thoughts that I have for you here this morning, and I've got enough here to last till next week, but I need to catch the plane tomorrow, so I better not go that far. It's all right, you can breathe again, sister. I'd just like to thank you, first of all of you who have been a great friend to me here, the many who have taken me out for a meal somewhere along the line and tried to increase my waistline, and the love of many of you. I want to tell you that there are many here that I've added to my prayer list to pray for. And I'll be honest with you, I have been praying for many of you who I've known in the past every day over the last 4 or 5 years since I was here. And I just want to thank God for you and pray God's blessing upon you and thank you for all that you have meant for me. And I want you to take your pen out when you get home and write my name on your prayer list. And pray for me as well, because I will continue to pray for you, whether you pray for me or not. I take the Bible reading this morning from the second book of Corinthians, the 10th chapter, reading from the 3rd verse until the 7th verse, or 8th verse, as it is here. I'm conscious of the fact that each one of us loves the Lord and cares for the things of God, but how many of you really know who Jesus is, or who the Father is, or the things of the Father? And so today I'm going to be speaking to you on the I am that I am, the Father himself, and the many names associated with the Father, that you may realize who he is and what he is to each and every one of you. Every day I take out this list here. It's only 13 names of the Father, but I reach out to him and I pray every one of these names every day and realize the strength I have in an almighty God. You do not realize, as Christians, none of us do, how much God has put into our lives and what he has put into our lives to give us the strength to go on in the things of the Lord. In the first service, I preached on the armor of the Lord. And I believe the armor is an essential to each and every one of you. Shall we look at the armor like a recorder that records everything that we are taking in and it helps to filter out all those things that we do not need? Because God has indeed given us a strong armor. But one thing about the armor I didn't mention this morning, that the back of the armor is nothing. And that's where each one of you needs to be. Does that sound crazy? If I'm walking this way, your prayers, your lifting me up, your dedication towards the things of God for me are behind me, backing me up and pushing me forward into the many things that God has for me and for you as well. And this is why, as you sit in your seats there, you see the back of someone you're facing, but the back of that person, if you look to the front, is a personality, a person who loves the Lord, a person who cares for the God, for God is a person that you need to be praying for. I heard a couple of amens, and that's all right. We'll take it as a couple of amens. Some people are not keen on prayer, you know. I heard the statistics once of how many pastors and ministers pray, and I was shocked to find that the average pastor and minister doesn't spend more than 10 minutes a day in prayer. Is that a lot of time to some people? No. It's shameful. Like Leonard Ravenhill said in his book, Why Revival Tarries, he said, a man who doesn't pray 2 to 3 hours a day is not worth a nickel or a cent. Now, I know that might strike hard into some people's hearts because I know a lot of people go to work. But can you sacrifice an extra hour in the morning by not enjoying that last hour of sleep and getting down your knees before the Lord and seeking His face on behalf of each other and behalf of the work of God? Is it such an imposition for you? Even half an hour. I want to tell you now that if you spend that time in prayer, you will shake this nation. Not just Cape Cod, but shake this nation by the power of God. And you will come into the presence of God and feel prayer is worthwhile. It's not an imposition. It's not a drag. It's a coming into the presence of an almighty God who is there with arms wide open and saying, hey, it's lovely to have you with me again. Come, let us walk, as it were, with Adam and Eve in the cool of the morning and the cool of the evening. Let us talk over the things of God together and see what God has for you for this time. Oh, hallelujah. What a mighty God we have. And what an awesome God. With Him, all promises and things are possible. And are we willing to trust in Him in all circumstances? Remembering one another and their God-given abilities. Each one of us has abilities. Each one of us has a place in the work of God. I've known of people who have tried to press their giftings on other people, but they forget that that gifting is for themselves and that God has shared out severally as He wills the many giftings and ministries throughout the body of Christ, that we can be one in Christ Jesus together, working together as a body. And as the pastor sets the tone and the vision for the ministry, we need to get on board and go with that ministry and start using your abilities and those things that God has given you. And there are many ways we can do that. You know, my wife and I met someone down the streets. This was years ago when my wife was still with me. And as we walked down the street, this woman came up and said, hey, Barry, it's nice to see you again. Said, oh, yes, that's fine. And I held a conversation for about 15, 20 minutes with this woman. And my wife was kind of angry afterwards. She said, you didn't even introduce me to this woman. But I turned around to her and said, but I didn't even know that woman. I think there are many times when we get down to pray and we get down to seek the face of God. Do we really know Him? Do we know the God that we serve? We are flipped about by every wind of doctrine. We hear this and that, but my pastor says and this person says, but is it confirmed by the Word of God and who God really is? Do we stand on the rock or in the rock? We can slip off a rock if we stand on it, but if we're buried in the rock, we're held fast by the rock. And the only rock I know that I want to be buried in is the rock, Christ Jesus. He is my rock and He is my salvation. And He is the person. And to you know, when I have friends, I want to know all about them. How many of us falter in our witness for God because we don't really know God and we know that don't really know the things of God? We turn around, we tip God with a 5-minute prayer, maybe a couple of verses out the Bible, instead of getting deep into the things of God and seeking His face. He said, they that seek me will find me. The word seek is not just a word, just look and look away. It means to dig deep into, to get straight into what God has for you and start moving in the things of God. I remember a young Christian years ago came up to me and said, "Barry, I think I've made a mistake." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I've invited the Jehovah's Witness to come over to my house, and he's going to bring a whole group with him to discuss a particular problem." I said, "Oh, that sounds great." I said, "And you're a young Christian. How are you going to get over that one?" He says, "I don't know, but I'm going to ask you to come along with me so that we can take on the task of what went on there." And we went over that evening to his house. There must have been 8 or 9 of Jehovah's Witnesses turned out. It was his wife and my wife together with himself and myself. And they started. And every word we said, they would interrupt and start saying, "No, it's this way and that way." And in the end, I just stood back and said, "Carry on, have your spiel. Go through whatever you want to go through." This is in my mind, I'm saying this. And so they did. And when they had finished their whole recording, I then started. I took the Word of God, the Bible, and fortunately I had a concordance at the back, and I cheated. Because as I went to the very topic they were turning about, I just used the Word of God. And somebody interrupted, said, stop there. I said, "Madam, I had the courtesy to listen to what you told me. Now have the courtesy to be silent and listen to what I'm telling you." You see, what I told them was the Word of God. And when I had finished, that person, the group, went dead silent. And my wife gave her testimony on how she came to know Jesus. And I tell you, that ended it all. They were off out the door like a shot. You see, the truth will always have a victory over the evil and the wrongs. And the reason I say this is because it's knowing God's word, it's knowing the things of God, and knowing the person that you are involved with, the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing the Holy Spirit. He had intestine fortitude to come back and say sorry, I suppose, in some way, but he was unwise in what he did. But you know the tenacity of a young newborn Christian? It's greater. And you try and stop the fire, don't. Let them go forward and let them make their mistakes and help them along the way that they will know right from wrong and come to know the King of Kings. In defending the enemy, they threw... Sorry, I've got my notes here and I can't even read my own writing. In defeating the enemy, anyway. First of all, I would cite the many names of our God. This is where we're going to, and this is what I promised some people I would preach on. First of all, I would like to bring forth someone that you all know very much. And he often introduces himself, and I think it's the main name that he introduces himself in. When John the Baptist was in prison, the disciples asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" And all the different things. And he asked the question, "Who sent you?" "The I am that I am sent him." Now think of that. Does anyone make any sense of someone who says, "I am that I am"? What God was saying to him, and this was not the only occasion where he mentions this name for God, it was the second or third occasion he said, "I am that I am." Because I am means I am. I'm total in everything. I am the God who heals all your diseases. I'm the God who helps you out of trouble. I am the God who is there for you in your situations of life. I am the God who is able to counsel you. I am the God who is able to give you peace. I am the God who is there for you no matter what the circumstances. I will stand by you because I am. I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the bright and the morning star. I am the creator of the universes and the universes beyond the universes. And I am the God who holds this universe in the palm of my hands. Now, are we getting to know who our God is? Are we really believing him to be who he is. He is El Elyon, the God Most High, and the possessor of all things. Now, there's an interesting thought, isn't there? He is the God Most High. The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I call them no gods. Because when I serve the Lord, I don't look at another god of somebody else and look at it and think that's a god. It's no more like a god than fly in the air. Have anyone seen pictures of Ganesh? I think that's the way they call him. He's an elephant that sits on a pedestal. Maybe looks a little bit like me in size sometimes. Can you imagine bowing down to a great big Buddha with a fat belly or some other religious ideology that some people have, knowing that they could do absolutely nothing for you because they're man-made? The Bible talks about them chopping up a piece of wood and carving an idol out of it and coming and making it an idol, then taking the wood, the chippings, and making out of that the remains that were there of the wood a fire to cook his food on. Well, I don't think that's much of a god, do you? We serve a living God. I don't know of any other so-called God that paid the price for each and every soul in this world. Everybody, as a free gift for all men everywhere, that they may come to know the joy of his great salvation and walk in his light. He is El Shaddai, the God all-powerful and all-sufficient. You know, we think we've got past our lick at sometimes. A young lad was out in the garden and trying to lift up his stone in the garden, and he was trying with all his power and all his strength to lift up that stone. And his father turned round to him and said, have you used all your strength? He says, yes, Dad, I've used all my strength. He said, no, you haven't. You haven't asked me. And so together the son and the father lifted that stone. Beloved, when you get to the end of your tether, try God. In fact, before you get to your end, Trevor, make him the first step of call. You know, I have problems, as you see, with my legs, but I still think he is the God that heals all my diseases. And I'm going to tell you something. I can do something here that I haven't been able to do for 2 years. I used to get up steps by climbing one at a time, one at a time. It's a slow process. But now I find when I'm getting up the steps at Tammy's place, I'm walking one after the other. You see, God sometimes heals gradually, but God heals. He said, I am the God that healeth all your diseases. He's the God all-powerful and all-sufficient. You don't need more than God. You've got God, who is a totalitarian in himself. He has everything there for you. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And God has given us life that we can have it even more abundantly. And from this world, when we pass on from this world, we pass on into a glorious new world. It's like being born into a new situation. The 9 months you spent in your mother's womb might become 75 or 100 years in the womb of God's love here on this earth. But when it comes to giving birth, he will give birth on that day when we, this shell, this mortal shell, dies and we go up to meet him in the air and glorify his name. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. You know, I stand in the pulpit and I sometimes stand here and wonder, is God with me? Sometimes my hand begins to shake and I feel, well, Holy Spirit's anointing there. Hallelujah. And you're doing it now. These are not put on signs. It's just a sign that the human body is so frail in some ways that when you put the power of God into it, even though a minor part of the power of God, things begin to happen. Hallelujah. And I believe God demonstrates his power, especially in evangelistic meetings, and proves that he is God. Faith, by the way, is knowledge conditioned by God's holy affection and love towards you. And as you walk in the light and the fullness of his word, God, through the Holy Spirit, will reveal to you his word time and time and time again. And you will know him even as he is. I'm going to run through these rather quickly because I see we've only got an hour and a half to go. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Now, everybody loves to sit on that one. Lord, I want to win the lottery. Lord, I want millions of pounds. Lord, you said you'd provide and you've promised to answer all our prayers. Can I say nuts? He doesn't say he'd just provide. He said he'd provide all our needs, not our greeds. Sometimes he does give us a lollipop. Sometimes he gives us the full and running over measure that he offers us. Sometimes he does go the second mile with us and blesses us with many things. There are many things I have today that I don't think I deserve. My daughter calls them junk. But I've got them. And I praise God for them. Because I might find someone also who has the need of those things. And be able to give them out also and help people in the same way. He not only divides all our needs, he sees all our needs. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. That's what the Bible says. And when he is the one who will see to it. God never falls short on his promises. I had a need to come out here because I felt God's anointing to do so. And I felt this time of coming out was not just to have a pleasant time and say, I'm happy. But it was a time of meeting up with people, a time of ministering into many meetings, even the ministers of Cape Cod on a few occasions, a time of prayer, a time of reaching out prophetically to the ministry and the work of God here in Cape Cod. Not because I'm any great fellow, I'm just a member of a church in East London, in England. But because God has laid a passion in my heart, and God knows that you have needs, and he wants to speak into those needs. And one of those needs, I believe, is that you need to know the God that you are serving, the God who he is, and what he has, in fact, for you. I have a paper here with over 100 names of God. I believe, in fact, in the Bible there are about 148. Okay, it'll be tonight before we get through with some of them. But I'm not going that far. I've only chosen 12 names. Emmanuel, God with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. No matter when we've gone wrong, no matter when we've caused problems and difficulties for others, he is there to convict and to bring us into a righteous standing with himself. But he's also there to reach out with his loving arms and said, I love you and care for you. Now get the matter right. Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't believe that just confessing our sins infers the unbeliever. I believe it also comes to the believer. We fall short time and time again in our Christian walk and talk. And I believe we need to rededicate our lives to the Lord every day and every moment we can and say, Lord, I'm just coming back to you right now. I failed you somewhere along the line. And I want to confess it and then go to the person you failed also and put the matter right. That's the scriptural way of doing things. I don't hear many amens to that one either. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Now, I believe there's a difference between healing and miracles, even though I believe they're a brother and sister. That's right. I believe when I think of miracles, I go to an evangelistic campaign and the preacher is preaching that immediate miracles happen. People are healed instantaneously. I believe that is a miracle. But I believe sometimes when we think of divine healing, the 10 lepers were healed as they went on their way. The man who went down to the pool of Siloam did what God told him to do, and God healed him. Even in the Old Testament, when Naaman the leper came, he says, aren't the rivers of the Pharpar and the Euphrates better than this? But God told him to go down to the Jordan and dip himself 7 times. And when he did what God told him to do, God healed him. That to me is divine healing. They both come from the same source. They both come from the same person. So a person who looks at me and says, you prayed for me 12 times and I've never been healed. I said, praise God, God is working with you. And I believe that healing is carrying on. The same as I believe the healing's carrying on my legs. When I get here next time, I'll be walking like a donkey. And if not, I know God is still healing. Praise God. Jehovah Makkah. Now, this is one of the most beautiful names for God. Or is it? He is the God who molds. The molding fashion is hard. When Jeremiah was turned to go down to the house of the potter saw that the piece of pottery he was working on had a flaw in it, and so he smacked it straight down and took the clay and started making it anew. One of the areas that God does to each and every one of us in life is starts to mold us and fashion us into what he wants us to be. One of the problems I often see in marriages is when the wife tries to make the husband what she wants him to be, or the husband tries to make what he wants to be. And when they see what they want to be, they say, no, I don't like this anymore, so there's a divorce on the table. Stop it. You married the person for who they are, not for what you want them to be. You married the person because you love them. And when you came into a relationship with God, you made with peace with God who you are. God looks at us as an individual. I'm not a Billy Graham. I'm not an Oral Roberts or a Tommy Osborne or some other evangelist out in the sea. I'm just an elder in a church in London. That doesn't demean me. Because if I have only one thing to do for the Lord and I do it right, I fulfilled what God wanted me to do. But it doesn't mean be lazy and don't search to do other things. Because God has many giftings and ministries for us. There was a time in my life when I thought God had called me to be an evangelist. And then a few years later, someone prophesied over me and said I would carry the bags of a pastor. I thought, Lord, carry the bags of a pastor? And me traipsing around carrying a pastor's bags? But to a lot of people, that's what that interpretation means. But it didn't to me when God revealed what he meant. I would carry the responsibility. The bags of the pastor were the responsibilities to carry out his work and the ministry that he'd given to me to do. When I looked at the fact that God had called me to be a pastor and not an evangelist, my ministry changed round. And I became what God wanted to me to be. But sometimes God has to mold us and fashion us into what he wants us to be. Sometimes there is not so many flaws. Sometimes the vessel is clean and God can take that vessel and use it for his glory. But I want to tell you your life story, your testimonies, and your life will tell of God's working in your life and molding you in your life and fulfilling his plans and purposes in your life. He's also the one who smites us. Ooh, wham, ooh. I remember of a little Italian woman in the book, Hey God. I don't know if you've ever read Hey God. Anyone here heard of that book? The author of the book was, in fact, the man who started the Businessmen's Fellowship he started. And in the work, it showed how a little old Italian woman used to pray under the bedrooms of her children every night aloud. She was Roman Catholic and came to know the Lord. And this particular time, her husband didn't know the Lord. He would be very anti towards her until one day he came to know the Lord. And he stopped smoking and stopped a lot of his naughtiness around the house. I like that word, naughty. I don't have to use a stronger one. And as he was sitting in the barn at the house, there was a barn attached to the house one day, he looked over and someone had given him a beautiful cigar. And he took the cigar and wrapped the paper. "Ooh, it smells like milk and honey," he said. And as he was about to put it to his mouth, he felt the hand of God slap him across the face. And the guitar, the cigar obviously must have dropped out of his hands. But he got the message. Sometimes God has to get violent with us. Sometimes God has to put us over his knee and give us a good hiding sometimes. Sometimes God has to shake us to wake us up until we do what God wants us to do and fulfill the promises of God, which are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Jehovah Makkah, the God who sanctifies. I know there are some people who believe in immediate sanctification. Well, maybe there is in the spirit, but I believe that sanctification comes in the walk that we have with the Lord as God cleans up our lives and helps us to shine for him like those lighthouses. I love the next name of God here, Jehovah Nissi. Oh, hallelujah. Who knows what Jehovah Nissi means? Aha, we've got some people who know. Praise the Lord. Lord, my banner. The Lord, as Moses stood on the top of the mountain, there with Hur and Caleb with him, and he took his rod and he held it up to the sky, the same rod that was used in many other instances. This rod that Moses had was Aaron's rod that budded. It was the one that was eventually put into the Ark of the Covenant. It was the one that Moses used to split the waters of the Jordan and allow the children of Israel to go through. It wasn't the Jordan, was it? It was the Red Sea. It's all right. He did the same with the Jordan anyway. I believe that that rod, like the Ark of the Covenant, represented the very presence of God in the midst of Israel. And every time he lifted up his hand and that rod into the sky, the power of God came down upon the Israelites and gave them power to overcome the enemies. That doesn't mean the rod was a god. That doesn't mean that we worship the rod as a god, but it does represent to us that God was there. And when Jesus was lifted up in the wilderness on that crossbar of the cross, it represented life and health and glory to all children and people who would believe in him and accept the fullness of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, his banner over me is love. And love spells out life, obedience, victory, and eternity. We have it all in Christ Jesus. Beloved, do you know your Jesus? Do you know your God? Do you know him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Jehovah Tisbiath, the Lord of hosts. You know, one thing I think about when I think of the host, I think of the host of heaven that encampeth about us. Elijah stood there and saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. His earth servant had turned round to him. "I see nothing other than a little cloud in the sky." And Elijah said, "Open up the eyes of this man and let the scales fall from his eyes." And when he did, he saw the host of heaven encampeth about him. Beloved, have you got your eyes open this morning? Do you realize that right here in the house of God, if you open your spiritual eyes, you will realize that God has a host of heaven about us here today? He's set his angels charge over us. There are millions of angels. We're not subject to any one angel, but to many. Because if I fall, he will set his angels over me and lift me up. I love the host of heaven, don't you? Don't worship them, but thank them sometimes for being obedient to God, who is so grateful to the graceful and such a wonderful God in supplying them. He is Jehovah Shalom. Yeah, you should know that one. Shalom, yeah. He is our peace. My peace I give unto you, not as this world has peace. You can have turmoil all around you. You can be in terrible trouble. You don't know which way to go, up or down, back or forward, or right sideways, either way, like a crab. But I want to tell you, my peace I give unto you. It's not the normal peace. Wars carry on. There'll be wars and rumors of wars to the end of the age. But when I get to see Jesus, when I get to walk with Jesus, even in trials and tribulations, I can know his peace. And his peace abides in me. Okay, he is Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. We don't stand in our own righteousness, which is a filthy rag. But we stand in the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is the price he paid for us on Calvary and gave us to be able to stand in front of the Father righteous because of the blood that was shed upon Calvary. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always there. I've already spoken on one area, Emmanuel, that God is with us. But we also have Jehovah Rivai. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you love him? Do you realize who he is? Do you honestly believe that he is able to take you through all these situations and give you peace? If you accept him in these areas, I want you to stand up and say, Lord, forgive me for so often ignoring you for so many things. I realize now, even though I've only studied a few names of God in this service, but I realize now how great you really are and how much you think of each and every one of us, that you've left so much at our hands and our sides to help us to move forward in the things of the Lord. Will you stand with me at this time? I pray a prayer every day, and I want you to pray it with me right now. Jesus, be the center of all my prayers and all that I do, of my studies, of my whole life, of my fellowship with you, of your vision in me and your ministry through me. Jesus, use me, all that I am, all I owe to you, Jesus. So all my mys I give to you. I love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, one God. I surrender all to you, and I mean all. Spiritually, mentally, and physically. Everything I have, even the breath that I breathe, all is yours. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you believe that prayer? Just in your heart, just meditate on the things of God as I ask you to confess to him your problems and your difficulties. As I ask you to realize that you are far more than just a body that God blew into and made a living soul. The whole of you is encased in who God really is. Because he's put the whole of his life into your lives, that you may be like him and honor him, worship and adore him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.